Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're taking a jungle pad that naturally wanders in pitch, phase, or stereo width, and we're tightening it up so it still feels alive, but actually sits inside the track the way it should. This is a really important skill in old-school jungle and D&B, because pads do a lot of emotional heavy lifting. They fill the space between break edits, bass hits, and vocal chops. But the same drift that sounds lush on its own can get messy fast once the full drum and bass arrangement is rolling. It can blur the snare, soften the kick, and make the whole groove feel less focused. The goal here is not to sterilize the pad. We want to control it. We want it to breathe with the track, not drift away from it. So by the end of this lesson, your pad should still feel warped, smoky, and a little haunted, but it should also sit cleanly in the mix and support the rhythm instead of fighting it. First, start with the right source. A drifting pad sample, a detuned synth chord, a dusty hardware-style wash, or a resampled atmosphere will usually work better than a super clean static preset. For jungle, you often want something that already has a bit of character baked in. But before you touch any processing, make a decision. Do you want a drifting but controlled pad, or a more unstable, ghostly one? That choice matters. If this is for a proper drop bed, go for the controlled version. If it's for a haunted intro or a looser breakdown, you can allow more instability. Don't skip that decision, because everything else you do depends on how much motion you actually want to preserve. Now, clean the low end first. Put EQ8 at the front of the chain and high pass the pad so it gets out of the sub and kick zone. Depending on the source, that might mean somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. If the pad is thick, go higher. If it's thin and airy, you can stay lower. Then make a couple of small surgical cuts if needed. If it's boxy, dip a bit around 250 to 450 Hz. If it has a nasal or honky quality, look somewhere around 600 Hz to 1.2 kHz. And if the top is too shiny for a dark jungle tune, soften it a little with a gentle high shelf or a subtle low pass idea. Don't overdo it. Why this works in D&B is simple. The breakbeat and sub need a clear lane. A lot of jungle pads fail not because they're too loud, but because their low mids blur the snare and kick relationship. You're creating space for the drum hierarchy to stay strong. What to listen for here is the snare. When the loop plays, the snare should step forward instead of pushing through the pad. If the pad sounds a bit smaller after EQ but the groove feels bigger, you're on the right track. That's a good trade. Next, tighten the movement with auto filter. Put it after EQ8 and use it as a motion stabilizer rather than an obvious effect. Depending on the source, low pass or band pass can both work well. A low pass cutoff somewhere around 4 to 10 kHz can darken the pad nicely. A band pass between about 700 Hz and 3 kHz can make it feel more hollow and vocal-like. Keep resonance modest unless you specifically want a sharper, talking texture. If the drift is really just uneven brightness rather than true pitch wobble, this is a great place to tame it. Use filter movement instead of trying to flatten the whole sound with EQ. That keeps the atmosphere alive, while removing the cheap sampler kind of wobble. If you're building a rack, map that cutoff to a macro. It gives you a really fast tension control for arrangement automation later. Now, if the pad is sampled, look at the clip and tighten the warp only as much as you need. If it's drifting in time, lock the start so it lands cleanly on the bar. If it's drifting in pitch, don't crush it into a dead block. Just reduce the obvious wobble. If it's MIDI, use clip envelopes or device automation to steady it rather than letting the synth free run too wildly. A useful mindset here is to reduce the drift by about 30 to 50% if it's subtle, or 60% or more if it's distracting. Then, if needed, reintroduce controlled movement later with automation or modulation. The point is to remove the accidental movement first, then decide what kind of movement belongs there musically. And honestly, if the pad already sits well against the break after this cleanup, stop there. Don't keep improving it. In D&B, overprocessing atmospheric layers is one of the fastest ways to kill momentum. Now we can add movement on purpose. This is where you choose between chorus ensemble or a restrained facer flanger. If you want a wider, more classic, less obviously affected sound, use chorus ensemble. If you want something more haunted and swirly, use facer flanger. For the chorus route, keep it subtle. Slow rate, moderate or low amount, and a width setting that still lets the pad read clearly in mono. For the facer or flanger route, go even more restrained than you think you need. Slow, shallow, and not metallic or overpowering. In fact, for jungle, the effect often works best when it appears only in transitions or held sections, not all the way through every bar. Why this works in D&B? The movement needs to sit above the rhythm, not smear across it. If the pad swirls too hard every bar, it makes the brake feel smaller. Controlled modulation keeps the atmosphere moving while the drums stay in charge. What to listen for now is whether the snare transient still cuts cleanly through the loop. The pad should feel like it shifts as the bar moves, but the effect should never become more noticeable than the chord itself. If the modulation starts shouting louder than the harmony, back it off. After that, add some harmonic edge with saturator or drum bus. A little drive can turn a polite pad into something grittier and much more glued to the brake energy. Start gently. Maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, soft clip if needed, and keep the output level honest so you're not tricking yourself with pure loudness. If the pad needs extra grime, drum bus can work too, but be very careful with any low-end enhancement. You want edge, not accidental sub. And after saturation, check EQ8 again, because saturation often creates extra low-mid fog around 200 to 500 Hz. Trim that back if it shows up. A really important habit here is level matching. A louder pad often feels better, but that doesn't mean it sounds better. Always compare fairly. That will save you from a lot of bad decisions. Now shape the envelope so the pad breathes in phrases, not random clouds. If it's MIDI, work on release and sustain so it fits the tempo and arrangement. If it's audio, use volume automation or fades. Jungle and old school Dean Beale often love long sustains, but not so long that everything overlaps forever. Think in 4-bar and 8-bar chunks. A classic move is to keep the pad filtered and wide for the first 8 bars of an intro, then slowly open it over the next 4, and finally thin it out just before the drop. That creates anticipation without needing a huge riser. This is also where a small amount of automation can do a lot of work. A filter lift, a width change, or a little dropout before a fill can make the arrangement feel written rather than looped. Small changes beat constant movement every time. Now comes the real test. Check it against drums and bass, not in solo. Loop the breaks, the bass, and the pad together. This is where the true decision gets made. What to listen for is simple. First, does the snare still feel like the loudest mid-range event in the loop? Second, can you still read the bass note definition when the pad blooms? If the pad covers the snare body, cut more around 250 to 500 Hz or reduce saturation. If it's masking the bass, high pass a bit higher or reduce the width. If the groove feels flat, tighten the filter movement or shorten the release. A good jungle pad should feel like it's leaning into the brake, not sitting on top of it. The drums should still punch forward, and the pad should feel like atmosphere around the brake, not competition for attention. Now let's tighten stereo discipline. If your pad is very wide, check mono with utility. Pull the width down or hit mono briefly and see what happens. If the sound collapses badly, then the movement is too side dependent. A practical fix is to keep the low mids more scented and let the airy top movement live wider. You can also reduce chorus depth or narrow the pad slightly if the center feels hollow. The important thing is that the emotional core should survive in mono. In clubs and on strong sound systems, that really matters. What to listen for here is whether the pad becomes smaller in mono or whether it basically disappears and turns into a facey ghost. Smaller is fine. Vanishing is not. Once the sound is behaving, consider printing it. Freeze and flatten, or resample it, so you can start chopping the exact phrase you want. This is especially useful in jungle, where tiny atmospheric edits can create huge motion. If the movement is good but CPU heavy, if you want reverse tails or pre-drop gaps, or if you need a cleaner version for a second drop, commit to audio. After printing, chop it to fit the arrangement. Let it breathe in the intro. Cut it before a snare fill if it muddies the transition. Bring it back with a reverse slice or a filtered return in the next 8-bar phrase. That's how you turn a drifting pad into a reval arrangement asset instead of a loop you never finish. A quick reminder here, make the pad slightly less impressive in solo if that makes it more useful in context. In D&B, that trade usually pays off. If you want to push the lesson further, try splitting the pad into two rolls. Keep a quiet, darker mono core for stability, and let only the top layer carry the width and movement. That gives you atmosphere without losing center weight for the brake and bass. It's a really strong approach when the track is already full of vocals, rewinds, or heavy edits. You can also make the pad phrase reactive. Open it only at phrase turns, the last 2 beats before a fill, or the final bar before a drop. That way, the pad becomes a structural cue instead of a constant wash. And if you want extra menace, automate the filter slightly down before a snare fill. That little closing motion can create tension without needing a giant effect sweep. So let's wrap it up. Tightening a jungle pad drift is not about flattening the vibe. It's about control. Clean the low end, reduce accidental wobble, add movement with restraint, shape the phrase, and always check it against the drums and bass. Keep the pad dark enough for an old-school jungle context, and make sure the center survives in mono. If it feels like a haunted atmosphere sitting inside the groove instead of floating away from it, you've nailed it. Now take the exercise and build one 8-bar pad loop using only stock Ableton devices. Keep it darker than the drums, don't raise the volume more than a couple of dB, and check mono before you call it done. Then push into the bigger challenge and make two versions, one wider and more unstable for the intro, and one tighter and more mix-safe for the drop. Do that, and you'll start hearing the difference between a pad that just sounds cool, and a pad that actually works in a real jungle track.